Kathy Shields. She is the Chronic Disease Prevention Manager for the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Kathy has over 15 years of experience in public health with both at the state and local level. She received her Bachelor's of Science in Community Health Education from the University of Texas at San Antonio and is a certified health education specialist. Kathy has extensive experience planning, implementing, and evaluating health education and promotion programs in the area of healthy eating, active living, and chronic disease self-management. She has also been successful in securing numerous public health grants from the federal government, as well as private foundations, and has expertise in coalition building and partnership development. She's trained as a facilitator and has led numerous groups in strategic planning. Kathy is one of the founders of the San Antonio Healthy Restaurants Coalition and the Por Vida program. So welcome.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for coming to the session. I'm wondering, of those of you in the room, who has attempted or been successful or tried to work with the restaurant community in any capacity to improve healthy choices, right? Just show of hands. Okay, great. So what I'm going to talk about today, and no relationships to disclose here, identifying strategies to build productive relationships between public health, registered dietitians, and the food industry, describing the process of engaging food service establishments in supporting labeling healthy food choices on menus, and then finally, I will describe our evaluation methodology and some of the highlights of the results of our external evaluation and sustainability of the program. But of course, I must start with some data. So if you noticed on the back table, I did have a copy of some of our data fact sheets. These are brand new, and I'm really proud to have them here today. So I just wanted to give you a sense of what's going on in San Antonio in terms of obesity and diabetes, because that is really the reason that we engaged in this whole restaurant thing about 4 years ago. So in terms of obesity, body mass index, and Bexar County adults, we are, like many of your communities probably, 65% of our adult population is overweight or obese. 35% is at a normal weight. Our adolescent population, and of course, this data comes from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The other data comes from BRFSS, but I think you guys already knew that. So adolescent obesity in San Antonio, and among our high school students, 70% are normal weight, which is kind of encouraging. 30% are overweight or obese. Now here's the good news, and I'm somewhat bewildered still to talk about this, but this is really, really brand new information here in from San Antonio. We have looked at our data between 2010 and our most recent data source, which is 2012, and I'm pleased to say that our obesity rate has declined. We were at 35% obese. This is for the adult population, and now we are at 29% obesity. You'll notice here on the chart, if you look at the middle red plates, the middle red plate in the bottom is bigger than the red plate on the top, and that's because we have more overweight adults, 36% now compared to 34% in 2010. But again, some good news, the green plates on the bottom row, 35% of our adult population is normal weight compared to 31% back in 2010. And diabetes, must talk about this. If you look at San Antonio and Bexar County, we are at 13% of our adult population has been diagnosed with diabetes compared to 10% of Texas and 9% of the rest of the country. So there was a desire to do something different and innovative in terms of how to address the obesity issue. And so we decided to approach our restaurant community. The Healthy Restaurants Coalition was formed back in 2009, and I'll show you in just a second a timeline of series of events that happened. But the important point to note is that the initial meeting included representatives from the public health community, us at MetroHealth, the San Antonio Restaurant Association, and our Dietetic Association. So if you can kind of think of those three partners being the foundation of this effort, we determined that we wanted to have a shared goal of partnership and cooperation. So I'm leaving a lot of the story out because there's a lot of backstory behind that. Bottom line, we got to a point where we really wanted partnership and cooperation. It wasn't always that way. So that's another story for another day that I love to tell. And we did not have any funding for the first year of our partnership. No money, which was really good. So quickly, we understood that there were different motivations at the table. Public health and the dietetics professionals were interested in one thing, reducing obesity and increasing access and consumption of healthy foods. The restaurants were interested in attracting business, staying relevant in a changing market, and increasing their profits. So we accepted those differences and we figured out how to move forward. Okay, here's the fun timeline. So I realize that you cannot read that, but I'm going to point out a couple things. And that's kind of the point of this slide. So if you look at the far left, 2009 is when we actually said, you know what, let's partner. We don't want to argue. We want to work together, right? So back in 2009 in January, we had our first come-to-the-table meeting with those three partners that I mentioned earlier. As you move along that line, it only goes through 2010, 2011, and a little bit of 2012, and we're still working. I just couldn't extend the timeline any longer there on the screen. But there was a long time of planning before we even came up with our program, which is called Por Vida, which I'll talk about in a little while. We didn't actually create or launch the Por Vida program officially until the middle of 2010. So point being, between the beginning of 2009 and all the way through October of 2010, we were working on developing this program. And again, with no funding available, really, it was actually very much of a help. We weren't pushed in any direction. We really just were allowed to form the program as it needed to form. The green arrows are another point that I want to make on this slide. The green arrows beginning kind of in the middle of 2009, those three green arrows indicate funding that we did receive eventually. So we were fortunate to receive three grant awards that we put some of those resources into the development of this program. Okay, so the program. It took us about a year to develop what it would be called. It's called Por Vida, which translates to for life. And it's about making a better choice. The restaurant recognition program helps adults and children make healthier food choices by identifying menu items that meet nutritional guidelines developed by our coalition. So that's kind of in a nutshell what the program is. And I like to call this slide the rules of engagement because our guiding principles, you know, when you bring together a coalition that in many ways are opponents, not proponents, then you kind of have to come to a center place where you can work together. And so I offer this to you as our rules of engagement that may be helpful if, and those of you that have worked with restaurants probably can relate. So developing the coalition and the program with the restaurant owner in mind. The only way that it was going to work was to start from that point of view. In our case, it was a voluntary participation model. There was a big distinction that needed to be made between menu labeling and then creating healthy choices on menus. So we were not talking about menu labeling, we were talking about creating healthy choices on menus. And no imposed mandates. We were not interested in making any rules hard and fast for the restaurant community. Instead, we wanted to come to consensus and work towards shared solutions. Providing a seat for the restaurants at the table, of course, and then consider the restaurants may want assistance preparing for the nationwide menu labeling movement. So even though they were very, very not interested in talking about menu labeling, deep down, they actually did want some assistance moving towards that because they knew that that was coming. So this became an opportunity for that. So here's the nuts and bolts of it all. This is our nutritional criteria. It took a team of really fantastic registered dietitians several months to kind of filter through a lot of programs out in the across the country and then think about our program in San Antonio. So those are our criteria. This is for a full meal, which is an entree plus two sides. We also have specific criteria for our entrees and then our side items as well. And, of course, it's based on the dietary guidelines for Americans. We also have a children's menu criteria, which we came to this probably about a year after we launched the adult menu program. So the last slide was our adult menu criteria. But we realized we wanted a children's menu opportunity for restaurants as well. So we came up with this menu. Well, actually, I must not take credit for this. We didn't come up with it. We borrowed it from a program called Best Food Fits, which is a program out of the Texas State University. They have a research program there that's working with children's menus all over that part of Texas. So we borrowed their criteria because it made a lot of sense and it was very simple, and it didn't actually require a dietitian to implement. So let me skip. I'll come back to that slide, but I want to talk about the recipe analysis process. What does it take to implement this program in a restaurant? So we put together kind of a process, and it pretty much works this way with every restaurant, but let me just walk you through it. So we have registered dietitian. I'm very fortunate to have registered dietitian on staff. We're about to have another full-time registered dietitian because we're expanding a little bit. So our registered dietitian will identify a restaurant to work with. Generally speaking, restaurants come to us and want to be part of the program. We sometimes will go and recruit specific restaurants in specific neighborhoods that we're looking at, but typically a restaurant will say, hey, I want to be part of your project. So our dietitian will work with the restaurant owner or manager to find items that might already meet the criteria. In some cases, that happens. And so we basically just compare that particular recipe and the analysis to our criteria, and then we can bring them into the program. In most cases, there's not a menu item on the menu that meets our criteria. So we will basically collect recipes and ingredient details, and it's very detailed. But it's a fantastic process. The registered dietitian will analyze the recipe, compare the analysis to our criteria, then more times than not discuss with the restaurant options to make the meal fit the criteria. So, for example, decreasing the salt in the recipe, changing ingredients. This is really where the dietitian can get creative sometimes. And then sometimes work to combine items into meals, like, for example, our work with McDonald's. Next step, once we've found something that meets, then we will the restaurants will develop their own marketing materials internally to promote, and we will launch the restaurant, which the launch is always a fun time, and sometimes it involves media and dignitaries and whatnot, and other times it's just maybe an announcement to the press or an announcement in the newspaper that a new restaurant has come on board. So I'm going to go back to just a slide that I thought was interesting. When you looked at our criteria, which you'll see in the middle column, you might have thought that seemed a little high. So what we did was we have kept data on all of our approved Porvita meals over the years, and this was from our meals up until 2012. We looked at many, many meals, and in actuality, we were happy to see that our Porvita approved meals were much lower than our criteria, which was kind of a surprise to us. So this on the right-hand side, you'll see that of all of the meals approved, and it looks like there's about 170 meals that were part of this sample, they were only about 439 calories as opposed to our 700-calorie limit. So, and then the other nutrients kind of fall into line there. So in actuality, the Porvita meals are a lot healthier than our criteria suggests, but we felt like our criteria made it reasonable and created an opportunity for restaurants. So we're not changing our criteria, but just wanted you to see that the restaurants are actually doing a pretty decent job of it. So here are some of our, here are our restaurant partners as of now. Is anybody here from San Antonio? I know there's a couple people in the room. If you're not from San Antonio, some of these restaurants won't mean anything to you, but just to give you a sense, some of them you probably recognize. We have worked with a wide range. So going from national fast food chains and the challenges that poses to mom and pop small, you know, operations in San Antonio to large local chains in San Antonio that are very important in the community, like Jim's, which is basically a coffee shop, kind of a 24-hour diner, I guess that's the best way to put it. And then everything in between. So it is possible to do this with any type of restaurant. Something that's exciting is that we did not even anticipate this, but over the last year, a lot of our effort has been in institutional participants. This works really well in cafeterias. So, for example, you'll see some businesses on here. Well, we're working with their employee cafe, hospitals, universities. So, let's see, senior living centers, so more like retirement communities. So, where there are cafeterias, we've actually found that the program works quite well. So we'll talk about that in terms of evaluation as well. So just some suggestions for you to, if you are embarking on something like this, be realistic and flexible, build relationships and collaborate, integrate full-time registered dietitians into public health, fight the food police mindset. That's really not the approach that we want to take, and so put yourself in the restaurant owner's, restaurant manager's or owner's shoes. Provide ongoing staff training for restaurants. This is probably our biggest challenge, which you'll see noted in the evaluation results. Maintain open and up-to-date communication. Ask the restaurant to cover the marketing and promotion costs. They all have in our case. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you are wanting to do something like that, please call me. I'm happy to share my experiences with you. So I'm going to talk briefly about our evaluation results. I'm really pleased that Erica Sosa is in the room today. Erica, raise your hand, please. So thanks for being here, by the way. So our research team from UTSA, University of Texas at San Antonio, we had two researchers working on evaluation over the last couple of years. We looked at restaurant implementation and institutional implementation. Our methodology really broke down into four categories of evaluation, and I'm going to talk about three of these today. Environmental assessment, patron awareness survey, sales data tracking, and the key informant interviews. So I will not be talking about sales data tracking. Lesson learned. As much as the restaurants love you and want to participate with you, they will not share their data with you. So we tried and tried and tried. Erica can talk about this at length, I'm sure. We did get sales data from some of the restaurants, but it wasn't enough of a sample to actually talk about in terms of results. So I will describe for you the other three, however. So just a quick note on the sampling. The restaurants were coded geographically. We used a random number generator to pick 23 restaurants, and we tried to get restaurants from all the different types, so that not all of them were McDonald's that were sampled, but they actually limited the chain restaurants to make up no more than 45% of the sample. So we wanted to get a good variety. The environmental assessment really was just looking at, what does it look like when you walk in the restaurant? Is our health messages prominent? Is the Por Vida prominent? And so they collected data on that. It's really kind of a researcher walking into the restaurant and doing the scan. That's how that methodology was. And in terms of results, most of the restaurants, all their, you know, their menus were visible. Most of the restaurants promoted healthy items. Many of them provided nutritional information in tray liners or brochures. Many of the restaurants promoted the Por Vida, and they all did it in a different way, and that's okay. Whether it was a logo at the entrance, a logo visible at point of purchase, something identified on the menu, something on a table tent, basically bottom line, all of them promoted it, however they were all done differently. The patron awareness survey, and I'm going to speed up here because I've been given the warning. This was a Dropbox survey. Anybody ever been involved in a Dropbox survey in a restaurant? Lots of fun. So Dropbox survey, voluntary, anonymous, a short questionnaire. It's actually right there. I know you can't see it, but I thought I'd just prove we did do it. It's there. Got some really interesting information from the Dropbox survey. Got money from the Dropbox survey. Went back to UTSA. That was fun. 192 patrons participated. After we accounted for missing data, 189 records were analyzed. Okay. I'm going to zoom in, go down to the bottom of the slide, importance of taste, importance of cost, importance of nutrition. I think this is really where it's kind of interesting. Very important, importance of taste, 91% of people. That's pretty reasonable. Importance of cost, 61.9% of people thought it was very important, cost. Importance of nutrition, don't be discouraged. 55% of people felt like it's very important, that nutrition is very important in making a selection. Okay, last methodology, key informant interviews. And by the way, there's a lot of other information on the survey data, but I'm moving quickly here. And then we did the researchers did key informant interviews where they actually did 45-minute in-depth interviews with restaurant managers, restaurant owners, and members of our restaurants coalition. And this was, I think, where we got some really, really great feedback, made adjustments, and you know are still moving forward in implementing. Okay, employees, do not dependably spread the message about things like Por Vida. These are comments from the interviews. So the recommendation there is more training. And that's a key in any project like this. Public needs to be more aware of Por Vida. Another recommendation, more marketing to the public. Another challenge of a project like this. In the beginning, the criteria for Por Vida was very cumbersome, very rigid. Increase the preparation time for the restaurants. So the process of becoming a Por Vida restaurant can take anywhere from 2 months to 6 months. It's not quick. So the restaurants sometimes need time for that. Some other points there that I think are helpful, but I'm going to move. And more comments. Employee incentives. So these are restaurant, provide the employees an incentive. Training videos for the employees. Have Q&A sessions with the staff. I mean, a lot of the information came back to us was really about the staff and the restaurants need to know what's going on in order to promote something like this. So, okay, that's the stop. So I'm going to just say there's more data here about the institutional data collection. Very similar results. And I would be happy, and I think Erica would be happy to possibly answer any questions about that at the next segment here. So, thank you very much.
I actually hated to stop it because it's a fascinating study, but we do have a few minutes for questions. So, yeah, great comment. So I'm going to be really selfish about this answer. There are 195 McDonald's locations in San Antonio. If we can get that logo on every one of those McDonald's doors, then I feel like that does some good for our program. I totally understand the criticism or the questioning of a partner like McDonald's. I will say they've been a very, very strong partner of ours. They're always there to help us promote things and have brought a tremendous amount of resource to the table. But we are careful with that. I mean, I understand the position that we're in terms of being a public health agency and trying to do good in the community. But when it came down to it, some of their menu items do meet our criteria. So we're happy to promote that. And again, it helped with visibility. And so we're happy to have them as a partner.
How does Por Vida help restaurants become more profitable?
Say it again?
How does this help restaurants be more profitable?
I don't actually know if it's helped them become more profitable. I think what we have heard, the feedback from the restaurants, is that they know that there's a customer base out there looking for healthy choices. A lot of these restaurants that you see, they're not the restaurants, the national chains that have the 500 and under calorie menus. So they are restaurants that haven't thought about this. And so they're coming to us to say, I want to be part of it because they know that there's a customer base out there looking for that and they don't have it. And if they can take advantage of our registered dietitian to help them create menu items, they're happy to do it. So
I will say, because the sales data is very, very, very challenging. I don't know if it's increased profitability for them. My guess would be possibly not, but that hasn't deterred them from participating. Over there. You know, that's a really good point, too. And our philosophy has always been to put a healthy choice on the menu where it didn't exist before. So I agree. We don't know what's going on with the dessert factor. Desserts are not part of the Por Vida criteria, obviously. And, you know, I think we have a job to do in terms of educating the community, educating the public around just healthy eating. So this might be one little piece of it, so that when they walk into the restaurant, they see a choice that they didn't see before. But, I mean, you're right. There's a great deal of education and awareness that needs to go to the community about how to control eating across the day and, you know, how to do it in a healthful way. So that is a challenge that we haven't solved with this project. Yes. Yep. Well, so whenever we're looking at a prospective new partner, obviously my friends in our food and environmental section, we go to them immediately. How does this restaurant score? How are they doing? And they won't become a partner of ours if they have had a problem with their inspections. So it's kind of a partnership between us and the food and environmental section. So yes, absolutely. I mean, we regulate this industry. So talk about a mixed message if... so yes, we try to account for those challenges. Okay, one last question.
We had a dietitian who was analyzing diets in a kind of standalone restaurant, and the owner gave a menu, but then someone was actually observing the chef and found that the chef was actually altering that menu.
Yeah.
Is that a pretty common practice that you found in your experience?
Yes, I mean, and one of the things that we've had to build in, and recommendation to all of you out there trying to do something like this. The accountability factor is really complicated. But what we have done is our registered dietitian, who's full-time, she actually has a schedule that she visits each of our partners. And there's a lot of partners in our program, but she will make a visit to them at least twice a year to check in with them to see if they want more menu items added, to make sure that they're still, you know, doing what they said they were going to do. A lot of it really truly is on the honor system with the restaurants, because we can't monitor them, and the chefs change or the chefs forget, or, you know. So it's about constant education to that staff, including the kitchen staff.
Okay. Thank you.